Matthew chapter 11. We're in lesson 34 as we continue to look at the dispensational view of the book of Matthew. And we left off last week with verse 1 and 2. But verse 3 speaks of, "And it said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them." In chapter 11, verse 3, you know, "But even is in all of this, John is still," and we looked up, where's John at in verse 1 and 2? He's in prison. He's been there since chapter 4. Okay, so we're looking at, he's been there for some time, okay, at least a year or so. And, you know, he's wondering about that. He's hearing about Jesus Christ and the things he's doing. So he sends two disciples after him saying, go find out if this is he, or should we look at another one after him? So John is still a man of faith. Don't you ever think he's not. Just because he's in prison, he understands some things. But he sought the answer of his confusion from the Lord. Who he asked the question of. The Lord is doing something here with John the Baptist that he will be doing with the little flock over in the times of Jacob's trouble. Okay? They're going to be felt like they're in prison over there. So if we see where John's at, they can understand what God is doing, because God through Jesus Christ will be doing a lot of things. Verse 4 through 5, Jesus answers by telling them to go and show John again the things that you should see and hear, i.e., what did you read? The blind, what does it say? The blind receive their sights, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. These miracles, once again, were done to help Israel. Not the Gentiles that we talk about all the time, but to show Israel, to identify their Messiah. Okay, because of that, what the Scripture said, he will do, and just as the miracles, for miracles' sake. So in other words, if he's going to say, if the Word of God says the Messiah is coming, and when he comes, he's going to give miracles. Okay, would you believe that? Or should you have to believe that if you was a Jew? Yes. Okay, go to Isaiah chapter 35. Isaiah chapter 35. Isaiah chapter 35. Now, once again, we study the whole Bible, the Bible's own way. You know, a lot of people have mentioned, you know, oh, you dispensationalists, all you want to do is stay in Paul's epistles. You know, I've been accused of that in the past. But our motto at Canton Grace Fellowship is studying the whole Bible. Do you not study the whole Bible? The Bible's own way, and that's 2 Timothy 2:15. In Isaiah chapter 35, verse 3 through 6, "Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of the fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be open, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing, for in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert." Now, if Isaiah is talking about that, is that was that going on there, or is that a future event from Isaiah? It's a future event. So when Lord Jesus Christ comes on the scene, would that have been future from this?
No. Oh, I would have said no, because the Lord was already, now he was doing
it. What I was going to say, was it when the Lord Jesus Christ was doing it in Matthew, was it a future event from what we just read?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, okay. Go to Isaiah 29. Isaiah 29. Isaiah 29, verse 18. And in the day shall the deaf hear the words of the book. Imagine that. They had a book. You know anything about preservation? Inspiration? Revelation? Illumination? It's going on then. It says, and words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity, and out of what? Okay, of darkness. Okay, verse chapter 42. Chapter 42.
So parts of those have actually happened, and parts of those are still like ages to come.
It's going to be ages to come. The fulfillment is, but he's showing them, hey, go tell John. And John know the Old Testament scriptures. And he goes, look at verse 7, chapter 42, verse 7. I'm sharing some verses with you to show that when the Lord Jesus Christ came, it's exactly who he said he's going to be. And if you study the scriptures, and if they study the scriptures, and I believe some of them did, because some of them believed from the beginning, you know, probably the low of heart, you know, weak in mind, you know, that didn't have the high esteem people, okay? But verse 7, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison's house. Look at chapter 61. Isaiah 61.
61?
Yes, sir. 61. Chapter 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prisons to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, period.
No.
Okay, comma. And the day of vengeance, and our God to comfort all that are mourned. This is his purpose when he came here. But you know in Luke chapter 4, without turning there, just remind you, Luke chapter 4, verse 19, well, turn there. Hold your finger there and turn there anyway. Well, you don't have to hold your finger there. Go to Luke chapter 4 and get John chapter 5. Luke chapter 4. You just read what Isaiah said was going to happen, correct? Look at Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, verse 17 says, and they delivered him. Now, verse 16, and he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. This is his home, not Bethlehem. This is his home. And he was, as his customs was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. There was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. You just read the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. That's Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, recovering of the sight to the blind, to set liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Comma. Mm-mm. Period. Mm. Now you read over in Isaiah, without getting into a lot of that, he left off something. He left off about the raft. And the raft is postponed here because it wasn't time. Okay? But I just want to share that. Go back to John chapter 5. It's very, very important to know sometimes commas means, it could mean gaps. Now, you're talking about Isaiah. How many thousands of years since Jesus Christ said that to today?
2,000.
At least. 2,000 years. So that's a long span, is it not? Okay, Luke, where did I say? John. John 5. John chapter 5. Getting back to what he's saying in Matthew 11, 4 and 5. John 5. John 5, 36. John 5, 36. He was, I think. He was I got 36. But I have greater witness than them that of John, for the works which the Father have given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of him, bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me. Now he talked about John, but at the same time he's got what?
Greater witness.
Greater witness. Go to chapter 10, verse 25. Chapter 10, verse 25. Chapter 10, verse 25. John 10, 25. And Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of who?
Me.
Verse 28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Okay, chapter 14, verse 11. Chapter 14, verse 11.
Eternal security for the nation
Israel. Sounds like to me. Once you believe God, it counts it as what?
Righteousness.
Okay. If they believed in Jesus Christ, would that have been counted for righteousness? I believe so. Look at chapter 14, verse 11. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sakes. In other words, when he did the works, he's saying believe that works, because if you believe that works, guess what you're going to believe? You're going to believe in him. This preceding verse clearly points out that you do not believe the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, then look at his works. See, the works was very important in that program. We know that. Because Israel's a physical people, right? You should have been able to look at Israel and seen that they was different and want what they want. Matthew 11, verse 6. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. If you look at my works, in other words, and believe what Scriptures predicted of the Messiah would do, then you would know and wait with patience and assurance that I am God. Now, let me ask you to contrast this a little bit. Do you believe the Word of God today that's for you? Okay? Is it hard, even though you believe, is it hard to wait with patience and assurance? Because you know what? We live in a nasty now. We want things right now. Even though we know what God says, you're going to have to wait. You know, because either he's going to come after you or you're going to die first. You know, and I don't think anybody in here wants to die. Our flesh is too powerful. You know, I know where I am with assurance where I'm going to spend eternity. And in all reality, I'm ready. You know, I'm literally right, but I'm looking at some of you. You got 20, 30 years on me. Maybe not that old.
No, well, I don't think we're
going to 100. No, well, thank you, Rob. Well, you got a 99-year-old sitting here. But anyway, just think about that. Assurance. If they had known that and seen that works and said, okay, he is God. Now, what's next in the timelines coming? You know, we're going to go through some tribulations. We're going to go through some wrath. Okay, but guess what? I believe God. Go to Matthew chapter 11, verse 7. You're in there. 7 through 11 says, and as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, what went ye out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken in the wind? But what went ye out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment. Behold, they shall wear soft clothing, or they that wear soft clothing are in the king's house. At king's house. Okay. But what went ye out to see? A prophet? Yea. I say unto you, a more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them which was born of a woman, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist, notwithstanding he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. That's powerful, ain't it? From the days of John the Baptist, who was bringing a new message from God regarding the upcoming arrival of the Israel's Messiah and kingdom, the religious leaders of Israel rejected that news. Remember back over in, rejected the news with violence and force. Hold your finger there and go to Luke chapter 16. The leaders rejected that. Remember where it says John, was it Luke chapter 7 verse 28, that John baptized in the Jordan? All of Jerusalem and all Judea came baptizing of him, but the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the counsel of God. That's who was running Israel. Luke 16, 16. Luke 16, 16. The law and the prophets. The law and the prophets. Now, what books are those in the Old Testament books? The law and the prophets.
Moses.
Okay. And what?
Times past.
Okay, time past, but they had the law and the prophets, what the Bible made up of, right? Okay, it says the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. Something's different here. Because that kingdom was not at hand. That kingdom was not offered. The kingdom was not postponed. The kingdom was not established until John the Baptist comes on the scene. They had the law and the prophets to govern them. The religious leaders, that they could take the kingdom of God. They thought they could take the kingdom of God by force. We're going to take it. We're the kingdom. Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. Matthew 21, verse 33. Matthew 21, 33. Here, another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about, and digged a wine press in it, and built a tower, and let it out to a husbandry, and went to a far country. And when it was time of the fruit draw near, he sent his servants to the husbandry, that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandry took his servants, and beat one, and killed another, and stoned the other. Again, he sent another servants more than the first, that they do unto them likewise. But last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, Thou wilt reverence my son. Right? Did God send a son?
Yes.
Okay. Would they not reverence him? You would think, yeah. Verse 38. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, This is their heir come. Let us kill him. Let us seize on his inheritance. You know, we're talking about the Word of God and the eighth day and stuff. There's some powerful, if you want to call it parables, you want to call it stories, but it's truth in God's Word that when God laid it out there, He knew exactly what His Son was going to get into. And when John shows up, the issue is the kingdom of Israel. Go to Isaiah chapter 19. John was a prophet, was a man sent by who? God. Never forget that. He was a forerunner of Jesus Christ. He had one message. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And who was he talking to? Just anybody? He's talking to the nation Israel. Isaiah 19, verse 25. whom the Lord of hosts shall bless, saying, Blessed be Egypt, my people, and Assyria, the work of my hands, and Israel, my
inheritance.
Israel is God's inheritance. Okay? And that's why John is coming on the scene and saying, hey, repent, Israel. But those religious leaders, as you read, you know, that's why it's very, very important to understand the vine, the fig tree, the olive tree, and the bramble trees. Okay? They're pictures of, in the Bible, who Israel was supposed to be and who Israel was. I know me and Jack was talking the other day about, you know, about Hercules. You know, was he a Greek god or a Roman god? Or, you know, how people, the world looked at Hercules as what? A little weak, meek guy? No, they looked at him as what? A strong. Who in the Bible do you know that God put on this earth that was strong than any man on earth? See how, you know, see how you can take world religion.
Mythology.
Okay? Always that type of religion, God's got the right truth, correct? But they counterfeit this. Why? To get them, get you to draw your minds over here and start concentrate on this type of typology versus what God says. You know what God says? I love that verse that they be ignorant. Let them be what?
Ignorant.
You know, you're not going to be able to convince the wise. We've had wise men in here before, haven't we? You know, with big, long names, you know, and they look at you and like, who are you to be able to teach or preach or show me what God says? I'm like, okay, you know. But anyway, Israel is God's inheritance for the earth. And that's when God went down there and he saw that meek and weak people, that's who he loved. And he's going to take that little flock that we'll learn later on, which he's already commissioned, right? He commissioned the 12 in chapter 10. Now we're back in Matthew, chapter 11. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 1 says, And it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples. Okay? He's done commissioning them. He gave them no more commandments. They got it, right? You would think so. Chapter 11, verse 13. For all the prophets and law prophesied until John. This is a dispensational change, if you will. Did God change?
No.
You get that all the time when you share truth, don't you? Well, God never changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Is he not? But how has he dealt with men, and how has he dealt with the world, and how has he dealt with people, if you will? That's changed. That's why dispensational truth and understanding the Word of God rightly divided, it's very, very important. And we talked about this earlier. It's truth from truth. But people out there want to tell you rightly divided the Word of truth, they take it as fact as truth from error. They're right, everybody else is wrong, but they don't divide the Word of God. You got to remember dispensational truth is very, very important in your understanding. In your understanding. Verse 14. 11, 14. And if you receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. If. Okay? We always say that's like a hinge on a door. Israel would receive the kingdom, and John the Baptist would have been Elijah. Is that what it says? Which was written would come. Malachi 4. Look at Malachi 4. Now, Malachi 4, verse 4 through 5. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all of Israel, which are the statutes and judgment. Behold, I send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Now you read what the Lord was saying about bringing peace, but he left something off, didn't he? Okay? But who said that he was going to come before the Lord?
Elijah.
Look at that. Let me keep reading just for a second. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a... Do you know the last word in your King James Bible of the Old Testament ends with a... You ever think about that? What is about that law? Galatians chapter 3 verse 10 says... Galatians chapter 3 verse 10 says... Keep your finger in Malachi. Galatians 3:10. For as many... I can read it for you. For as many as are the works of the law or are under the curse, for it is written, curses is everyone that continue not in all things which was written in the book of the law to do them. So, you know, if you want to continue those things in that Old Testament, if you want to call it Old Testament, under the law, guess what Paul just said you was? It is. A curse. You can't do that. The law, the Lord Jesus Christ took it to the cross, didn't he? Okay. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. Verse 1. Behold, I send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. He's sending a messenger, right? Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, verse 1 through 4. In the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, Behold, I send my messengers before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. So there's no mistake, should be no mistake in your mind to understand when God said he's going to send his messenger in times past, that there's a messenger's come, and what we're reading is who? Who is the messenger? John. The bottom line answers the confusion over whether it's John the Baptist. Is John the Baptist or is he Elijah? You know, people. You know, that can confuse you, isn't it? Is he John the Baptist? Is Elijah? And the verses Matthew chapter 11, verse 14, and Luke chapter. Get Luke chapter 1. We'll keep you busy this morning, huh? Luke chapter 1. Matthew 11, 14, we read, And if ye will receive it, this is Elijah, which was for to come. Luke chapter 1, verse 17 says, And he shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Did you not read that over in the Old Testament? Okay? If he comes in the Spirit, okay? If they receive the King, this is the catch here. If they receive the King, it would have been Elijah. We know that, right? Many of you shaking your head, you understand that. But because they did not, then John the Baptist is a type of Elijah. That's why I said he'd come in the Spirit. Before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah.
And is Elias and Elijah the same?
Same thing. Yeah, same thing. One's a Greek spelling, one's Hebrew, one's, you know, you got your word, God's word, and Ed word. You know, so I prefer God's word. But it is the same thing, honey. But anyway, I have throw it in there, get you a chuckle a little bit. But they received John the Baptist, and not until the prophecy is fulfilled with Elijah coming, the second coming of Jesus Christ. Go back to Matthew chapter 11. When the prophecy is going to be fulfilled, will Elijah come before the second coming of Jesus Christ?
Yes.
John in 1:17 we read, God knew Israel was going to reject their Messiah. But He still had to set it up exactly what He was going to do. Verse 15. He that have ears to hear, let him what?
Hear.
It's almost like that verse, if they be ignorant, let them be what?
Ignorant,
you know. So He's saying, hey, if they're going to hear it, they're going to hear it. If they're not. Verses 16 through 19. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitteth in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, we have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and you have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and he said, And they said, he hath the devil. And the Son of Man came eating and drinking. And they said, behold, a man gluttonous and winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners, but wisdom is justified of the children. Be unto you like this, liken unto this generation. You know, there's generations all through the Bible. 20, 30, 40, 60, 80-year generations. And he's looking at that. This generation is the apostate nation of Israel there. The wild grapes that have not produced any fruit. Many different things that were done to try and get their attention for that generation. He did the works, didn't he? He did the miracles. And you know, he piped into them. Think about that. You know any religions out there today, or they're piping music into their ears to get them lure in here? You know, it's no different then than it is in now. It's just more, you know, pleasing. The calling forth a generation to repentance, and they called him a... Who did they call John the Baptist? You just read it. They called him a devil. This man came not drinking or you know, eating, and he was almost, I won't say not pure, but he was a forerunner of God, and they called him a what?
Devil.
And Jesus comes to his kind, and the most wretched man who walked among them, and they called him a gluttonous. But wisdom is justified of her children. The believers recognize Christ. The little flock recognized who he was, didn't he? Father, we thank you for the day, and we thank you for the things you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.